Sermon today, the integrity crisis. 下面是正道时间，是今天的题目是诚实的危机。
Yeah, right now, there are two epidemics that are occurring in our culture.
我们现在目前正在面临着两个全球范围之内的一个类似流行病一样的一种流行。
Every one of you is familiar with the coronavirus.
你们都熟悉其中之一是新冠病毒。
But there is also an epidemic of integrity that's occurring in our world right now.
但是另外一个大范围流行的是在全球的是一个诚信的危机。
It's hard to tell who's telling the truth.
现在很难分辨谁说真话，谁说假话。
We found out last year that the Houston Astros, the professional baseball team, cheated to win the World Series.
前几年我们发现休斯顿太空人职业棒球队他们在2017年的世界大赛中拿了冠军，但是那个拿冠军的过程当中其实有舞弊的行为。
Everybody's heard of Bernie Madoff, and he lied and stole $64 billion for people.
可能大家也听说过在金融界有个人叫伯纳马道夫，他是一个很有名的金融界的经济，但是他在一个庞氏骗局当中骗了$640 million，然后被判入狱。
We basically have 3 months before the next election, and you can bet that the politicians will be out telling us lies about what they're going to do.
还有三个月这个大选选票可能就要出来了。大家可以期待预计这些政客会说各种各样的谎言。
Just a year or two ago, there was a college cheating scandal where people paid money to have college records falsified so their kids could get into Ivy League schools.
一两年在大学里也有这样的一个欺骗的一个丑闻，那些父母他们使用金钱贿赂能够让他们的孩子进入常春藤的学校。
And even institutions like the FBI, the leadership lied about Russian collusion for 2 years.
甚至美国联邦调查局这样的机构，他们也指控俄罗斯干预2016年美国大选这样的个通俄门这个事情，这个谎言呢持续了两年之久。
One of the biggest problems that each one of us has is who do we believe in the media? Because the media doesn't tell the truth either.
所以还有一个很严重的问题是关于现在越来越发达的媒体，我们现在到底还能不能相信媒体所说的话？
All of this points to a huge issue, a crisis of integrity in our culture today.
所有这些都指向一个很严重的一个问题，就是今天我们所面临的诚信的危机。
There was a book written several years ago called The Day America Told the Truth.
几年前有一本书叫做美国人说真相的日子。
And in that book, they estimated that 91% of Americans lie every day.
这本书估计平均来说每天美国人大概有91%的人会说谎。
So my question to you is, do you always tell the truth?
所以我今天想来挑战你一个问题，你是不是总是说诚实话？
Are you a truth teller when it comes to things in the office and things in your home?
当我们谈到工作上的事情也好，家里的事情也好，你是不是总是能够诚实的说话？
The Apostle Paul, in his final instructions to Timothy, wanted to emphasize the importance of being a person of integrity.
使徒保罗在他给提摩太的最后一些书信当中，再次一而再再而三的强调做一个诚实人的重要性。
Integrity is the very foundation of the Christian faith.
诚实诚信是每一个耶稣跟随者一个真实生命的一个基础。
So in 1 Timothy 6, the Apostle Paul gives us three areas.Where he wants all Christ's followers to have integrity.
所以在我们今天读的提摩太前书六章当中，使徒保罗给我们提出了 所有的耶稣跟随者都需要做一个诚信人，所可以操练的三个方面。
And in English, all of these start with the letter W.
用英文字母这三个方面都是以W 这个字母开头。
They are work, words, and wallet.
所以这三个方面是工作、言语，还有我们的金钱。
Let's look at integrity in our work.
让我们先来看看我们在工作方面的诚信。
In verses 1 and 2, you can see this principle being taught by the Apostle Paul.
大家可以读一读我们刚读过的6章1到2节使徒保罗是怎么说的。
In the ancient world, there was a huge separation between slaves and masters.
在古代关于奴隶和主人之间有一个很大的区别。
But as when both of them became brothers and sisters in Christ, there was a new relationship that was established.
当这样的奴隶和他们的主人同时成为耶稣的跟随者的时候，他们之间建了一个新的弟兄姐妹的关系。
And Paul doesn't speak against the institution of slavery, but he gave guidelines to apply.
保罗在这里并不是想要说一些言论有关奴隶制，但是他想说一些如何来让奴隶跟主人在这样新的关系当中如何来相处的一些可以应用出来的原则。
Some have criticized the Apostle Paul that he should have made the ending of slavery his main topic.
有些人很质疑说使徒保罗为什么不提出要结束奴隶制。
But Paul didn't want to start a political revolution. He wanted to start a spiritual revolution.
保罗并不想要开启一场政治上的革命，但是他想要去来提醒大家来开始一场属灵上的征战。
And his strategy was to win these people to the Lord so that they would voluntarily change their position on slavery.
所以他提出来要想要赢得这场属灵的征战，必须要在属灵上做得合乎神的心意。
But in our world today, this applies to the employer-employee relationship.
这样的原则用到今天可以用在我们雇员跟雇主之间的关系上。
And what Paul was encouraging is that employees should work hard for their bosses.
这样的原则最重要的是说雇员要非常努力的工作。
They should show respect for their employers.
他们应该对他们的雇主、对他们老板有完全的尊重。
And in turn, employers should be fair to the employees.
相应的那些雇主们应该一视同仁，应该对每个雇员都很公平，没有偏颇。
Our work and the way that we work should reflect our relationship with God.
我们如何工作，对于工作的态度，其实就反映了我们跟神之间的关系。
Every day, every one of you is preaching a sermon as you go to work.
其实每一天当你去工作的时候，其实你是在用你的行动如何工作来向世人来说一场讲道。
And your congregation are your fellow workers and your bosses.
那你的传道的那些对象其实就是你的同事和你的老板。
And Paul was concerned that we have integrity in our work.
保罗非常的担心我们在这个工作当中是不是有诚信，是不是一直持守的这个诚信。
So that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered.
免得神的名和道理被人亵渎。
If you claim to be a Christian and you have no integrity, don't tell anyone that you follow Jesus.
如果你是基督徒，但是你在工作中所行的跟你的信仰不合乎的不能彼此相称的话，千万不要告诉别人你是个基督徒。
Because you will bring harm to the gospel and also to God's name.
因为你会在传福音上绊倒别人，而且你会亵渎神的名。
There are some clear aspects to the integrity. First of all, we're supposed to respect our bosses.
有很多的原则，第一个就是我们必须完全的尊重我们的老板。
What would this respect look like?
这样的尊重如何体现呢?
Showing up to work on time.
准时的上班。
Working the full amount of time that you're required.
上班就实实在在的八个小时，偷工减料。
Not being negative or being a gossip.
工作态度不会是负面的、消极的，不会再到处传恶言。
Not stealing anything.
不偷窃任何的东西。
And the aim would be to make our bosses and the company that we work for successful.
我们的目标就是让我们的老板、让我们的雇主能够成功。
That's the goal.
这就是我们的目标。
Another aspect would be that we wouldn't take advantage of Christian bosses.
另外一个方面，如果我们的老板也是基督徒的话，不要就是使用这个任何的使用任何的方便。
That we would work just as hard for them.
我们也要为他们努力的工作。
Isn't it interesting that at the end of verse 2 it says, because their masters are dear to them.
在第二节的末尾很有意思的这个词是说因为我们的老板是基督徒，我们跟他们的关系更加的亲近。
So there should actually be a love for your boss.
所以你应该是对你的老板是有一个爱心的，从耶稣基督而来的爱。
And then there's this encouragement that all fellow believers should have the highest integrity in the workplace.
所以每一个工作的人在工作场合都应该有这样的一个最高的一个诚信。
Let me tell you a story of how this happened in Toronto, Canada.
让我告诉你一个在加拿大多伦多发生的事情。
There was a mechanic up there, his name was Cecil Banton.
在那里有个汽车修理工，他名叫塞西尔·巴顿。
And one day, a car pulled into his gas station.
有一天呢，有一辆车开进了他的加油站。
And a naive young woman stepped out and said that her car was running poorly. Could he help her?
然后有一个年轻的，看起来还蛮青涩的一个女士走出车来，然后告诉这个塞西尔·班顿说：“我的车现在有点问题，您能帮我？”
And the problem was obvious. The spark plug was not deeply attached, and the spark plug wire was off.
这个车的问题呢，很明显，就是那个火花塞的那个线，它有点松松垮垮的挂在那个发动机上。
And the woman asked, "Well, can you help me?"
所以这个女士问到你可不可以帮我？
And Cecil said, "Sure," and he got his tools in it.In 2 minutes, he fixed the whole problem.
然后塞西尔说，当然，当然可以。然后他就拿出了他的工具箱，然后把这些就修好了，两分钟之内就修好了。
And the woman said, well, can I pay you for helping me?
然后这位女士说，我可不可以付你钱，因为你的服务。
And Cecil said, no, I'm a Christian, and it's no big thing, it's on me.
然后塞西尔说：“不用了，我是一个基督徒啊，没多大的事情啊，费用都在我身上。”
Well, little did he know that this woman was actually a reporter for the Toronto newspaper.
但是塞西尔不知道的这个背后的有一个真相是，这位女士她其实是多伦多一家报社的一个记者。
And she had gone to 20 gas stations that day.
他那一天以这样的方式走遍了20个加油站。
And prices range from $20 to $100.
同样的事情他问修理工要不要付他们钱那些人开出的价格从20美金到100美金都有开出这样的价格来。
And he was the only one who had integrity and saw that it was just a minor problem.
塞西尔是他们当中唯一的一个非常诚实的人，没有要钱的人。
Well, the next day, she published her findings in the Toronto newspaper.
所以第二天，这个记者就将他的经历写在了他们的报纸上。
And a few days later, Cecil called her up and he said, "You have to put another article out there because I have too much business."
然后过了几天之后，塞西尔就打电话给这位女士说。请你不要再将这件事放在你的报纸上了，你放另外一篇吧。我现在的修理厂总是人满为患，都忙不过来。
He said cars were lined up down the street to get into his shop.
很多的汽车都在排队，甚至排到了街上要来啊啊、找我们为他们服务。
He became so famous, civic groups were calling him to come and speak to them.
塞西尔因此事变得非常的有名，然后各样的公民的团体啊、组织啊都打电话让他要去演讲。
Someone even offered to help him write a book about being an honest mechanic.
甚至有人打电话给他，问他要不要出一本书，说写写他如何变成一个诚实的一个修理工。
Cecil did more in one day of living honesty than 1,000 pulpits on integrity.
塞西尔那天所做的事情啊，给神带来的荣耀神的名之行为，可能比1,000场讲道来的更有意义深远。
So how can we change and bring integrity into our work?
所以我们如何要去改变我们的心思意念，能够在工作场合做一个诚信的人呢？
Well, the most important is we have to refocus and redefine who our boss is.
我们需要做的可能是再次的聚焦，再次的反省，来定义到底谁是我们的老板。
Many times we want to be the boss, but actually Jesus is the boss in our life.
很多时候我们自己想要做主人，自己想要成为老板，但是其实耶稣基督才是我们的主人。
In Colossians 3:23, it says, Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for men.
哥罗西书三章二十三节说到，无论做什么，都要从心里做，像是给主做的，不是给人做的。
So we need to see Jesus standing behind our earthly bosses.
所以我们需要有这样的眼光，有这样的眼界，可以看到耶稣其实站在我们地上的老板的后面。
Whenever we're tempted to do a job halfway, we need to see Jesus standing there.
当我们做一个工作做到半路想要放弃的时候，我们需要看到耶稣在哪里。
Whenever we work hard and no one notices, we need to realize that Jesus knows what's going on.
当我们非常努力的工作却没有得到应有的这样的评价或者肯定的时候，我们需要看见耶稣在那里，他都看到了一切。
I would say even for the high school and college students, you need to picture Jesus as your professor. You're studying for him and working for him.
甚至对于高中生来说，你需要看到其实耶稣才是你的教授，才是你的主人。你是为了耶稣来学习。
Each one of us needs to realize, even as we're working from home, that Jesus is looking right over our shoulder at all of our work.
所以即使像这些天我们很多人都在家工作的时候，我们需要看到耶稣其实是我们的主人，在那里看到我们的所行所为。
Jesus' presence makes all the difference in our work.
意识到耶稣无处不在，在我们的生命当中能够让我们的行为有所改变。
The second area is we need to have integrity in our words.
在第二个方面，我们要讲的诚信的是，我们要在言语上要诚实。
When we speak for God, we must make certain of our words.
当我们为神说话的时候，我们必须明白我们所说的是什么。
Jesus admonished us and warned us it'd be better to have a huge stone tied around our neck than to teach false truth to the next generation.
耶稣在路加福音17章2节当中曾经有个警告，就是把磨石拴在这人的颈项上丢在海里，也强如教导假的真相绊倒人。
That's why time and time again Paul tells Timothy, make sure you have sound instruction as you proclaim the gospel.
所以使徒保罗对提摩太一而再再而三的教导是说，当他去传福音的时候，当他去讲道的时候，他必须明白正道，清清楚楚的明白他要讲的是什么。
Right now, each one of us, we need to know the truth and know what's right and wrong.
所以这就是为什么我们当中每一个需要知道真相，知道什么是对的，什么是错的。
Truth is what sets us free. Lies is what puts people into bondage.
真理使人得自由，谎言只会捆绑我们。
Right now, truth is decreasing and the lies are growing stronger.
现在这个时代啊，真相越来越少啊，谎言到处都是。
And that is because Christians are not knowledgeable of what is true.
这其中的原因是因为基督徒们对于真相、对于真理啊，知道的不够，完全为远远不够。
The world is influencing us much more than we're influencing the world.
相对于我们理应来去影响世界、做盐做光啊，却让世界来影响我们、更新我们。
In the past 20 years, the United States has gone through one of the deepest cultural changes in our history.
在过去的这20年，在美国历史上，其实我们正在经历一场最深的一场文化变革。
And what this big cataclysmic paradigm shift is called relativism.
这场灾难性的这样的一个意识形态的转变，就是相对主义的到来。
Now truth is what I feel or what I choose to believe.
现在的真相好像是我很害怕，我要去选择相信什么。
And since truth is subjective and not objective, no one has the right to criticize me.
因为现在的真相在相对主义的这样意识形态下，真相好像都是非常主观的，并不是客观的。那没有人可以有权利去批评别人选择相信什么。
That's why 75% of Americans do not believe in absolutes anymore.
所以这是为什么在美国社会当中，现在大概有75%的人不相信有什么绝对的真理。
It's gotten so ridiculous, we don't even know what a man and a woman are anymore.
很讽刺的是，我们甚至现在都已经模糊了男女的差别。
So it's very important for us to speak the truth and to have sound instruction in our life.
所以非常重要，对于基督徒来说，要说真理，要教导非常有基础的，有根基的真理。
We also have to stay away from quarrelsome words.
我们还有其他一些言论影响着我们。
Some people just like to fight.
这些争辩的言语呢，是体现在有一些人他非常喜欢争斗。
And they fight with words.
他们争斗的工具武器就是言语。
They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and they quarrel with people all the time.
他们这些人呢，专好问难，争辩言辞。
And this produces envy and strife and malicious words.
所以这些争辩的言辞就会产生出嫉妒、纷争、毁谤。
And then it creates evil suspicions and people are constantly in friction with one another.
所以这样的争辩的言辞呢，也会产生这样的妄议，也会产生这样不停的、持久的这样一些摩擦、争竞。
I encourage you to be very careful of the words that you use.
我会提醒你们要非常小心你们的言语。
Solomon said in Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue."
所罗门在箴言18:21曾经讲到，生死在舌头的权下。
There's a phrase that basketball players talk. They call it trash talk.
有人说那些篮球运动员他们所讲的话可能都是垃圾。
And trash talk is negative talk. It's talk that divides and upsets people.
所谓的垃圾的言语就是那些话语没有任何的建设的意义，总是说一些负面的信息。
Great damage can be done by Christians who use trash talk.
所以如果一个基督徒也说这样的一个垃圾的言语的话，将会对别人造成很大的伤害。
So we need to have integrity in our words.
我们需要在言语上诚实。
So how could a person change the words that they speak?
所以一个人如何能改变让他们的言语能够诚实呢？
And I'd like to suggest a possible scenario to demonstrate how change could occur.
我给大家举一些例子来说明这样的改变如何可以发生。
What would happen to your house if the basketball player Yao Ming moved in and lived with you for a month?
如果这个篮球运动员姚明要搬进你的家住一个月，你家会发生什么变化？
Well, imagine a person that big probably eats a lot, so you'd have a big impact on your refrigerator.
他可能会吃很多，所以可能你的冰箱的储量要增加很多。
You might actually have to change some of the door frames in your house and change the architecture so that he could fit into your house.
因为他的身高，可能你需要改变你家的门楣的高度，改造一下你家的这个房子的结构。
But Yao Ming's presence in your house would definitely change things.
所以姚明如果住在你家，肯定会你家需要发生一些变化，让他可以能够住得舒服。
How about if Chinese rock star Cao Weijing moved into your house?
如果中国这个很有名的摇滚歌手崔健要搬进你的家，想想你家要发生什么变化。
Well, the first thing that you might want to do is buy earplugs for your ears.
可能你做的第一件事就是需要去买一副耳塞。
Because the music's going to be loud and it's going to be rocking in your house.
因为他的音乐会非常的大声，非常摇滚。
His presence would definitely change the dynamic of your house.
所以他的出现，他和你在一起的时间，显然会对你的家庭的生活造成很大的影响。
How about if Prince Charles from England moved into your house for a month?
如果英格兰的这样的查尔斯王子要去你家住一个月，会发生什么变化呢？
You might want to use napkins more often and be more dressed for dinner.
你可能会更多的使用餐巾纸，你可能会在吃晚餐的时候可能会比较穿的比较慎重隆重。
Well, Charles is just the prince. How about if we really had a king come and live in our house?
Charles 还仅仅只是一个王子。如果我们真的有一个真正的君王要住进我们家里，我们家里会发生什么的变化呢？
How would conversations in your house change if Jesus came and lived there for a month?
如果耶稣要在你家住一个月，你家需要发生什么的变化呢？
I imagine dinner conversations might be significantly different.
可能这样，当耶稣来住在你家和你一起享用晚餐的时候，可能我们晚餐所谈的话题可能会大大的不同。
How about conversations in the car as Jesus is sitting in the back seat listening to everything?
如果当你开车出去的时候，耶稣一起同乘这辆车坐在你的后座，可能你在车上说些什么话，讨论什么话题也会远远不同。
And you realize that King Jesus is listening to every phone conversation that's going on.
事实上，君王耶稣也真真实实的在听你所打的每一个电话，你在电话中所说的每一句话。
And he's also watching every email and every text message that you send out.
他也正在注视着你所发出的每一封电邮，每一个短信。
King Jesus's presence in your house will make a significant difference in every conversation you have.
当我们有这样的意识，耶稣基督无处不在的时候，在我们生活的方方面面的时候，与我们同在的时候，我们如何行事为人，可能会发生很大的变化。
The third area is we need to have integrity in our wallets.
第三个方面，我们需要有诚信的地方是我们的钱包。
Money is a very important part of integrity, and Jesus knew this.
金钱是关于诚信方面一个非常重要的一个部分，耶稣就知道这些。
Do you realize that 16 out of 38 parables dealt with money?
你有没有意识到在耶稣所说的38个比喻当中有16个是跟金钱有关的？
One out of every 10 verses in the Gospels focuses on money and finances.
在福音书当中，每十节经文当中就有一节经文会跟金钱有关。
There are 500 verses on prayer. There are 500 verses on faith.
有500节经文是有关祷告的，有500节经文是有关信仰信靠的。
But there are 2,000 verses on money in the Bible.
但是在圣经中有关金钱的话题的经文可能有2000条。
Did you see in verse 6? It says contentment is very important for us.
提摩太前书六章六节当中提到啊，知足的心是一颗知足的心是非常重要的。
And contentment, it has nothing to do with externals. Contentment has to do everything with what's going on inside of our heart.
关于知足，它根本跟外界环境啊完全无关啊，完全是啊因为我们里面心理的状态所决定的。
The word contentment means to be independent or self-sufficient.
所谓知足就是能够啊独立或者能够自给自足。
It means you don't need anything on the outside to make you happy on the inside.
这个意思就是说，如果想要知足的话，你根本不需要外在的任何东西来让你更加的快乐。
John Rosemont is a syndicated columnist and a family psychologist.
约翰·罗斯蒙德，他是一个美国非常有名的一个风趣的心理家专栏评论作家，他也是一个家庭心理学家。
And whenever he goes to a foreign culture, he asks parents, "Do your kids ever complain about being bored?"
当他去非美国文化的一个文化环境当中去做这样的一个亲子教育辅导的时候，他总是问那些父母，你的孩子会不会常常抱怨很无聊？
And without exception, every country outside the United States, kids are not bored.
毫无例外的是，当他去这样的调查是在美国以外的国家去问这个问题的时候，那些父母给出的答案都是不会。
And then he asked American parents between ages 40 and 50, if they complained about being bored growing up.
然后罗斯蒙德也去问了那些四五十岁的父母，当他们抚养他们孩子长大的时候，是不是那些孩子会觉得很无聊？
And very rarely were any of them bored as children.
当他们回想他们自己被抚养长大的经历的时候，很少有人说他们当时会觉得无聊。
Then he asked his middle-aged parents, how many toys did you have growing up?
在另一个调查问卷当中，罗斯蒙德问那些中等年纪的父母的时候，当你问他们这些问题，说当你长大的时候，你大概有多少玩具？
And the answers usually range between 0 and 10.
答案一般是大概零到十个玩具左右。
And most of these parents say, we just took cardboard boxes and made fun things out of them.
而且大部分这些人所给的答案是，当他们那个年代的时候，玩具，所谓玩具就是我们常常拿一些纸，我们拿到一些纸盒子，然后我们就自己通过这些纸盒子制作一些玩具出来。
In contrast, the typical American child of age 5 has accumulated 250 toys.
相比之下，在美国呢，美国一个五岁的孩子可能会有250个玩具。
And since they've only lived 260 weeks, apparently they're getting one toy a week, and yet they're bored.
五岁呢，差不多这些孩子才刚刚过了260周，那他们拥有250件的玩具，意思差不多是他们每一周都会收到一个新的玩具，但是即使这样，他们还是很无聊。
So where does contentment come from?
所以这样的一个知足的状态，知足的心是来自于什么呢？
Does it come from having more toys?
知足的心来自于拥有更多的玩具吗？
For going out and watching more movies?
来自于去看更多场电影吗？
For eating out more?
来自于更多的在外面吃饭吗？
For buying more clothes?
来自于买更多的衣服吗？
Drinking more wine?
来自于喝更多的酒吗？
No, contentment comes on the inside. Contentment is a heart issue inside of us.
都不是，知足其实都是来自于内心从内而生的一个状态。
The actual key to finding contentment is not self-fulfillment, it's self-denial.
要想有知足的心的这个一个关键，可能不是自我实现，乃是自我否认。
Do you remember the story of the rich young ruler?
大家还记得在福音书当中曾经提到的有关一个有钱的少年官的故事吗？
He had it all.
他几乎拥有所有的一切。
He was religious. He lived by the rules.
他很虔诚，他都遵守了各样的律法。
He had all the toys.
他有各样的玩具。
He had everything that money could buy.
他可能拥有所有金钱可以买到的东西，因为他很有钱。
And yet he was bored.
然后他还是觉得缺了点什么，有点无聊。
And he knew that something was missing.
他知道他生命当中缺失了一些什么东西。
That's why he asked Jesus, what am I still missing?
所以他问了耶稣，我到底缺什么呢？
And Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, sell your possessions and give to the poor.
所以耶稣告诉他，如果你想要拥有一个完美的人生，想要有人生有意义的话，去卖掉你的所有的财产，分给穷人。
And here's the bottom line for contentment.
所以，归根结底，最关键的，想要拥有知足的心。
You will not find contentment by accumulating stuff.
你不会因为积累更多的东西而有知足而有快乐。
Joy and peace and contentment is found by giving things away.
平安喜乐其实是通过我们牺牲一些东西，把一些东西给出去，我们才能找到这些平安喜乐。
Most of us have spent our lives accumulating things.
我们当中的很多人可能花费了我们人生的大部分时间来积累很多错误的东西。
We bought into the consumeristic lie that to have more will provide happiness.
我们可能被消费主义洗脑，也接受这样的消费主义的谎言，说越多越好。
But the gospel is an upside down economy model.
但是耶稣基督的福音，他的经济观念是完全颠倒过来的。
And you will always lose what you try to hold on to.
你会一定会失去那些你紧紧抓住的东西。
And you will ultimately keep everything that you lose for the cause of the gospel.
那些你因为耶稣基督而舍去的东西，最终你会得到它们。
So integrity in gambling terms is taking all of your chips and pushing them into the middle of the table.
所以所谓诚信，在耶稣基督里的诚信，如果用赌桌上的言语来说，就是你付上所有，你赌上全部。
And saying, Jesus, I'm all in for you.
你会向耶稣宣告说，主啊，我为了你付上所有。
When you do that, that's the only time that you will experience complete joy and happiness in your soul.
当你这么做的时候，你可以体会到那完全的喜乐，完全的满足。
Let me conclude with this story from ancient China.
让我以古中国的一个故事来结束今天的讲道。
When they built the Great Wall of China, they largely built it to keep out enemies who were coming down from the north.
在古中国当初他们之所以要建长城，其实建来是为了阻止那些北方的蛮夷部落的进攻。
And they thought if we could just build a wall high enough and thick enough that no enemy will be able to scale it or break it down.
他们以为只要他们建造足够高的墙，足够厚的墙，那敌人就不会入侵。
But in the first 100 years that wall was built, China was invaded 3 times.
但是在长城被建好之后的100年之内，中国就被成功的入侵了3次。
How did that happen?
怎么发生的呢？
By bribing the gatekeeper.
是通过贿赂那些守门的人。
They didn't have to knock down the wall. All they needed to do was find a person without integrity.
他们不需要想法怎么去拆墙，他们只需要找到一个可以被买通的不诚信的一个守门人，贿赂他。
One dishonest gatekeeper can doom a country.
一个不诚信的，一个可以被收买的一个守门人，可以毁了一个国家。
And it's the same for business. It's the same for the family.It's the same for the church.
这同样的道理，你可以运用于商业，运用于工作，运用于家庭，运用于教会。
As Christ followers, I encourage all of us to live lives of integrity.
作为耶稣的跟随者，让我来鼓励大家，我们每一个今天我们来活出一个有诚信的生活。
To do our work for Jesus.
我们的工作是为了耶稣而做。
To realize that all of our words are being viewed by Jesus.
我们说的每一句话语都会成为被耶稣所使用去祝福别人。
And to give all of our wealth, all of our assets to Jesus to use for his kingdom.
让我们摆上我们所有的金钱财富被耶稣所用，能够为他的天国能在地上被推广所使用。
Let's pray.
让我们一起来祷告。
Lord, we give you our work, our words, and our wallets.
主啊，我们将我们的工作、我们的言语和我们的金钱财富都放在你的手里。
Help us to use these three areas of our life to show the world.
让帮助我们使用这三方面，能够向世人来宣告。
Fill us with your spirit to make good choices with the temptations that we face.
因为有着你的圣灵的同在，我们能够面对世上各样的诱惑，我们能做出正确的选择。
We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
奉主耶稣基督的名求祷告，阿们。
这个 Scott 牧师信息。Thank you, Pastor Scott, for the message. Next, let's sing a response song. 接下来让我们唱回应诗歌。